that intention for being here.
Okay. So I said, I know it's cold out here. I know it's cold because I got my gloves on. But you know what's colder? Jumping in the water at the Miller Cottage. That's colder. You know what's colder? The Trail of Tears, walking around in the snow. That was colder. So I think we can push through this right here, I think. Right? We can push through this? All right. And if you start getting too cold, just hug your neighbor. I'm pretty sure they're warm. I want to give thanks to, first and foremost, the organizers who were to put this on. I want to give thanks to those who are here right now because y'all got out on a Saturday. Come on out here and do what needs to be done. To give thanks to yourselves, give thanks to the organizers, and give thanks to those who came before us. We all know what it's about. We all know why we're here. We often come out to these things because we're stirred, because we're told that there is state violence. And so we become inspired to come out to these things. We become invigorated, excited. And oftentimes we tend to forget the larger issues at stake. While over the holidays, I was at my uncle's house and he was telling me, like, oh man, you know, if the police just reform themselves, it'd be fine, right? And I'm like, no. Yeah, I don't get it. You see, if we're going to fall for the OG book that is just about the police killing, then we're going to miss the issue around all of our brothers and sisters and everything in between that are going into mass incarceration. If we're just going to stick on mass incarceration, then we're going to also forget the need for reparations. If we're going to stop there, then we're going to forget all the injustices that happened through colonialism and white settler colonialism, etc., etc. And so you see, when we begin to actually expand our view, we begin to realize just how broad this is all about. When I speak of white supremacy and white settler colonialism, I'm very intentional when I speak about these things. You see, because it was not that long ago when I was actually listening to the Dr. Tamir Rice, and I'm sitting down in my chair when my coworker told me, and he was like, yo, this young cat was just shot. And I was like, serious? He was like, yeah, he had a gun. Or BB gun. And I'm just like, I swear to God, and I will be honest with you, and I'll be transparent. My first response was, why was little homie walking around with a gun? Right? That was my first response. It was a lower response. It was a response that was sidetracked. It wasn't the right response, because for that brief moment in my sorrow and my sadness, I happened to have forgotten about the thing called white supremacy that had affected me deeply affected me. And so that my first response was, why don't the homie have a gun? And oftentimes I need to catch myself. Like with Mario Williams, I need to catch myself, because it would have been like, well, why was he trying to, you know, mess with the officer for? And so like I said, white supremacy affects us deeply, and so when I speak about the system and all of its appendages and all of its tentacles, understand how it affects us so deeply. Both black, white, yellow, red, and everything else in between, it affects all of us. And so when we think about approaching the system to attack it, when we think about approaching the system to defend ourselves against it, we have to think of it broadly, much more than just, we're here today because of a shooting, of state violence. It has to go well beyond that, but I know all of you know this already, which is a good thing. And like I said, I don't want to preach to the choir. In my little closing part, though, what I want to actually talk about in my little closing is something that's very, very important to me that I began to get hip on. You see, it's interesting when the Irish, when those who fought against the English who were Irish, the IRA, when they spoke about their future, they spoke about, well, one day we'll have land. One day we'll have our land back. One day we'll have our freedom back. And so they were able to center themselves around a cultural icon. They're able to center themselves around land, a tangible item. When the Palestinians speak about their issues, they speak about their issues in land. They speak about their issues again in their, going back to that time, that normalcy. You see, the pendulum can swing from normalcy to non-normalcy and back to that. But for us, as being black. We are a new invention. But we don't have a normalcy. We don't have a pre-destruction. We were birthed out of destruction. And so when I speak about our freedom, it's not an issue where I can speak about, well, we can return to land someday. No. It's not an issue where I can say we can return to a culture. That is not the case. That is not the case. And so when I speak of revolution, or I speak of liberation, I speak of something that is deeply profound to us. Something that has not been seen before on this earth. Because it is not referencing to a piece of land or a piece of territory. It is not referencing to a pre-culture, because we have to reinvent. No, I'm sorry, not reinvent. We have to invent our culture on a daily basis. So when I speak of liberation, it is something that is off, that is far beyond me, but I know deep down inside, the first thing that needs to be done is to relinquish myself of this thing called white supremacy. And only then can I actually achieve this position where I can begin to think of an alternative system, and I can begin to think of liberation. But this is far beyond the issue of me coming out of something because I'm spurred because of a shooting. And I'm not downplaying that. I'm only saying that we have to move along to the greater passion. Thank you for that thought. When I think of liberation, I see all of your beautiful faces along there with me. Because I know we can make it there together. Can we make it there together?
Yeah.
Can we shake off white supremacy?
Yeah.
Try it out with that. Just shake it off. Dust it off. It gets dusty. That's where it's at. When we get there, we're going to get there together. And when we get there together, there's not going to be no more shootings. There's not going to be state violence on us. We're going to make it. Because I see it in all y'all right here. It'll happen here first. I know it will. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Spoken in a tongue only the true face can see. How many?
So, we understand that we're in a state of public health emergency, right? But do you understand that that's what's happening in our country? Last year, the UN declared this country at risk. We had several warning signs. Within last year, medical students throughout the United States, medical school students lay down because they felt that it was important for us to understand that this is a public health issue. So we need to start demanding that our government, that the American Psychological Association, that all of the organizations that would typically respond to a public health issue, CDC, NIH, take a look at this seriously as a pathology, a disease that we need to uproot and we need to treat in this country. I dare say that we can begin by changing the power of the word. How often do you use the word black negatively? How often, when it's a sad day, do you say it was a dark one? How often when you talk about a comedy, as a dark comedy, are there actually black people playing the music? think very carefully about how you choose to use the word black and dark. You came from a black, dark place. Every single one of you, every single one of us came from a sacred, beautiful, divine, black, dark place that loved you up and nurtured you and wanted you to be here. So, if you don't do anything else, if you're not going to jump on the website, places like Black Lives Matter, has so many beautiful resources, just go to the page and you'll have an opportunity to meet them. You want to be an armchair activist? Thank you! We need more armchair activists. But look, we appreciate you being visible here as well. Understand that one simple thing that you could do today is encourage others to stop using the word black negatively. Tell me something else. If it's bad, say it's bad. If it's angry, say it's angry. When police officers see a child who has dark skin and immediately sees a monster, understand how you contribute to the language that needs it. This is God, really, I'm going to say, this time to say it's Friday, dang it. So thank you, thank you. I would now like to ask that the next person up to the mic join us so that we can keep this rolling. I think that we have maybe another half hour. About love and stuff like that, we've been sharing holiday and so beautiful, and it reminds me of that. Tengo la honra de ser ridículo. Déjame decirles que el revolucionario verdadero está guiado por mi gran sentimiento de amor, which means, right, at the risk of being ridiculous, allow me to tell you that the true revolutionary is guided by great feelings of love, right? And I want to also invite Divina Estrella, also known as Star, to share a song with us.
Because of them that the education many of them have been in prison for over 30 years. In the case of Michelle McGee and Chip, in many cases, they're over 40 years. They need your support for their cases, fight, challenge, cost a lot of money for their group, when they go in front of them, for their, for release. We have prisoners like Miranda Bowers, who was given his release date, okay? His family was at the gate waiting take him home. They had food cooked. Everybody was gathered. They did not release him. He has gone to court many times. They have basically said that federal judges have to find him out. We have a local Jericho committee. They do political prisoner war work. Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, a black-only organization. You are welcome to join us. Often that are so-called in opposition of what the ruling, what you call the ruling class or the economic entitled class believe. Prisons of war. You're smoking, please put your cigarette out. Prisoners of war are people who are in prison because they were and captured while they were in direct action against the government. Our exiles of people may have been formerly prisoners of war or who decided to leave the country because they were in action against the government and were wanted. Or sometimes they did things like Pete O'Neill commandeered a plane and left the country and moved into exile. We have hundreds of political prisoners in the United States. We have probably thousands, if not millions, of prisoners of conscience. Our political prisoners are the leadership in the prisons. It is because of them that the education, the political education, happens in the prisons. They're the ones that politicize the prison population and continue to. When we talk about them, many of them have been in prison for over 30 years. In the case of Michelle McGee and Chip, in many cases, they're over 40 years. They need your support for their cases, fight, challenge, cost a lot of money for their group, when they go in front of them, for their, for release. We have prisoners like Miranda Bowers, who was given his release date, okay? His family was at the gate waiting take him home. They had food cooked. Everybody was gathered. They did not release him. He has gone to court many times. They have basically said that federal judges have told them release him. They have basically said come and get him. Okay. We were lucky to have Baba Sekou Odinga released last year, but we have many more political prisoners and prisoners of war. I encourage you to find them out. We have a local Jericho committee. They do political prisoner war work. Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. join us in our political prisoner work. And I didn't mention, I'm a member of Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, Oakland Chapter, national organization. There are any number of ways that you can tap into the work. I know that in the middle of this month, this is the 14th month, are you still here? There's going to be a birthday celebration for Herman Dell, one of the New York Street. He's been in prison for over 30 years. So again, I encourage you, find out who our political prisoners are. Bring them into the conversation. Write someone in prison. Write a political prisoner, and I know, how many of us know someone that's in prison right now? How many of us have a family member that's in prison? Think about the last time you visited someone. Find someone to visit. And when you're raising money, put aside a portion to send to our political prisoners. In California, we have Matula Shakur, but we have political prisoners all over the country. In all, what would you call it, ethnic groups. So choose someone, write them, give them support. Send them my love and keep the conversation going. Obama, this is his last year. We hope that he will pardon some of our political prisoners, like Clinton did with this Puerto Rican political prisoner. Your support in that work is going to be very important. Thank you for hearing me out.
The Richard Perkins family's here. They've given me permission to talk about their what happened to their son and brother. I met the mother and the sister the day after that. Richard was murdered by the OPD down in the deep east Oakland area. They said he ran upon police officers who were impounding dirt bikes. This is what the police said. If this sounds logical to you, he ran up, pulled out a BB gun, and pointed it at him. I don't know how many of you. But nobody's into running up on anybody with a BB gun when there's seven police officers. They shot him 15 times. They shot him 16 times. They murdered him in cold blood and then lied about it. There's a lot of names that people don't hear about on a regular basis because the names that are talked about regularly, like Tamir Rice, there's video for. We don't have video for Richard Perkins. There is video, but it's really hard getting any type of video because the police immediately go and try to erase video like they did in Chicago. They go into places and they erase the video that would incriminate the police because the police are criminals. They're the largest gang in America where they can legally, with extrajudicial, illegal and extrajudicially murder people and get away with it. Here's real quick.
Good morning, everyone. I can't wait to get here. I just want you to know that it's good to have video cameras and phones and take pictures when something happens. Very important. They have a sideshow out there on 90th in East Oakland where I live. I'm the mother. They left my baby they shot him 16 times. Three rookie police officers and one sergeant. And they broke in somebody's house and they took their video. And, you know, it's a hush, hush, hush. But I know it is important. I want justice for my son. Every day of my life, I look down the street and I have to look and see where he was killed at. So, and I, every time I know I got to go see a psychiatrist, but I thank God I'm so far, I'm still partially in my right mind because I'm going to have to stay strong. Amen. Pray for me. Amen.
Hi, my name is Samar. My husband is Richard. And when I found out that he had got killed, I didn't really believe it. You know, this is my first time having somebody, like, really, really, truly close, you know, experiencing this, you know. And it's been so hard for me, the family, you know, just seeing everybody else that's being killed by the police and everything, you know. And it's sad that the only thing that the police go say is that, well, he had this, or he had that, or he had this, or he had that. You know, they're making an excuse for themselves, you know. So when we had these protesters and all this stuff like that, the first thing they think is like, oh, it's going to be some killing, it's going to be some shooting, they got to come with the guns and everything. I miss my husband so much because he was a good man. You know, he was into motorcycles, bikes, and everything, and he didn't mean no harm and everything. And just like the rest of the little kids that got killed, you know, and the police don't give a damn. And I don't care, they don't care. They like going down like in slavery. They saying we killing ourselves, but they just taking us off, just taking us off one by one by one, you know? And it hurts because you don't never get over it. I don't care what you do or whatever, you don't never get over it. You know, you go to bed at night and you can't pick up the phone and just call that person and cuss them out or to see them the next day or hopefully you're going to see them the next day. This has brought me and my family close together, you know, and I still can't believe he is gone. When I seen him in the car, and it took so much time for me to just get up there and just say goodbye, you know, and I didn't want to say goodbye and everything. But with his Perkins family, we love him so much and everything, and we can't believe he was a baby boy and everything, and he was a man and everything. I lost my brother also years from the police and everything. So I sent my love for people I didn't know, the kids, the men, the family, the women, everything, you know, and we just going to keep making a stand because that's all we got. All we got is our heart and love for our loved ones and everything, and they can see us up above. When you put a balloon up there or you send something up there or you think about that you didn't see them or something like that, they hear you. Men, women, and children, they hear you and everything. So I want to send my love for everybody that lost somebody deeply. To my husband, you know, we're going to make a difference. We just got to keep going. Keep going. No violence. The police won't see that. No violence and everything, but we just keep on going. Okay? Much love.
Have an announcement about the MLK action?
This is where I'm going to say real quick. I'm not going to talk about all the different organizations that work with Black Lives Matter, and I'm not going to talk about the organizations I'm in. I'll just say I'm in Black Lives Matter, and there's many different individuals and organizations that are working towards a better equitable position for Black people and helping the most oppressed people. We want to help all oppressed people, right? So the allied group that works with Black Lives Matter Anti-Police Terror Project is doing 96 hours of action on Martin Luther King. That culminates on Monday. We're doing a march here. I was trying to pull up the exact time, but my phone, I have no coverage right now. And I think it's also at noon on Monday on the 18th. But please look up Anti-Police Terror Project. So if you're not of African descent and you want to help out, you want to be an ally, you know, join an organization. It doesn't have to be the Anti-Police Terror Project. There's a bunch of them. I could name different nonprofits and different organizations that are not nonprofits. But join something. You don't have to remake the wheel, right? There's a lot of places that are doing a lot of things with a lot of non-dualable people that can teach you to do what you want to be doing or to get you in a place where you are better able to help people around you. You know, so Anti-Police Terror Project is one of them. Of course, if you're of African descent, Black Lives Matter door is always open. And of course, we're those black folks. We're not anti-anybody. We're just pro-black, right? Being Black Lives Matter doesn't mean we're anti-white. Like that, Black Lives Matter doesn't mean we're anti-any... Ooh, sorry. Gun went the wrong way. My bad. See, and I want to make sure that the white folks out here realize a couple of things. Like, we ain't coming out here saying, okay, a lot of us do say fuck the police. There's good reason for it, though. But it's not particularly anti-police. It's called police accountability, right? You got to be accountable for your actions. If you're a contractor and your house fell down on you, you lose your contracting license. If you're a plumber and every time you did the plumbing, it flooded and people would start getting hepatitis and salmonella, you wouldn't be a no plumbing contractor. I don't know how these police could kill people, abuse people, and rape people, get fired and go get a job in the next police station because the police union doesn't let any of the evidence happen or anything, the reason that they were fired, follow them to the next place. Right? So they should be in LA, be fired for abuse, be proven for abuse, be fired, and they could get a job right up in here in Oakland, which is a famous thing to do because Oakland is a misfit place, and when you get kicked out of San Jose or San Francisco, they come work in OPD, right? So let's remember, it's about putting, like, when you're talking to your folks and your families on Christmas and New Year's, and you're in the white folks, you're your own people, right? And they say, well, you know,
What about black-on-black crime? But so what about white-on-white crime? 85% of white people, 85% of crime against white people is done by other white people, right? Nobody talks about white-on-white crime, and that's the most crime that happens because you are the, white people are the most people here, and you do the most crime. 85% of crime against white people is done by white people, right? But if you want to talk about black-on-black crime, every ethnic group preys upon that own ethnic group. Asians, 96% of the crime is against other Asians. You know what I mean? 85% of the crime is whites on whites. So all that argument is moot, right? And they say, you know, well, you're anti-police, now we're pro-accountability. Yeah, we want to deconstruct the police to be able to protect our own communities and not having us get murdered out here. But see, we're trying to build the people who work on all levels of education, betterment, and just. But most of the people in Black Lives Matter work for nonprofits or work in for businesses that actually help the community. It's not just one facet. And so I'm being too talking about it. I'll tell you one more.
One quick announcement. We have my speaker. Hold on. Well, and I just wanted to quickly say that before the MLK march at noon on the 18th, there's going to be a teach-in for the little ones. I see a lot of small, young people out here today, and as we know, the revolution doesn't happen without them, so bring them along for the teach-in on the 18th.
Okay, just a quick announcement also. So there's been a national call by Black Lives Matter, and the 3% Coalition in San Francisco is answering that call. And we want to welcome anyone who's in an organization. Please take this information back to your people. Or if you're not in an organization and you want to step up and you want to do something, please join us on January 6th. There's a national call to lift Mario Woods up and what's happening to him, and then what's happening to many of our people in our community. So the January 6th national call, if you're in an organization or not, find some way of lifting up his voice. Thank you.
So just kind of going along with what she was saying, so we are going to try to do something in San Francisco specifically, but we're trying to encourage everyone across the Bay Area as well to lift Mario Wood's name up. It needs to be recognized in Oakland, just like it's recognized in San Francisco. We want to have solidarity amongst all of us. So any way that you can lift his name up, however you feel the way to do that, it doesn't have to be like extreme, it doesn't have to be minimal, it's whatever you feel out of your heart to support that movement and to get justice for Mario Woods.
All right, we're going to have a song and then a closing, and I would like to invite Tassiana to the mic.
How y'all feeling? Oh, no, y'all need more energy than that if y'all want to be revolutionaries. How y'all feeling? That's what I'm talking about. I like to see all y'all faces is beautiful. My friends are making me sing. So I just want to throw that no shade, homie. So I'm going to sing a spiritual song, and it says, wait on just a little while longer, and everything will be all right. And that doesn't mean wait to be revolutionary. That means keep fighting until everything is all right. So wait on just a little while longer. Wait on. Just a little while longer, wait on. Just a little while longer, and everything is gonna be alright if you protest on. Just a little while longer, protest time. Just a little while longer, protest time. Just a little while.
gonna be alright.
I would like to ask all of the people of African descent, of the African diaspora, to come forward, to come to the front of the crowd. Don't be shy, especially the children. Black folks.
Can we have you step up here? If you feel comfortable. So that people, yeah, when we talk about black folks,
if you identify as a member of the black family, come on up. Yeah, identify as a member of the black family. Now, when we talk about blackness, understand that we all share the same black mother, the same black African mother, regardless of your degree of pigmentation. However, what we're talking about today is the oppression of people based upon their pigmentation, their ethnic orientation, the beauty, the cultural essence that is us, that is black. And so we want to make sure that we gather as we're about to go into a blessing. Please look upon us and understand that those of us up here who walk through the streets, who breathe the same beautiful air that we've been blessed with by nature, are seen differently in this city. All right? And send out your blessings of protection for us as well. Send your blessings to the folks who are up here who have family members who have been taken by state violence. And we thank you for being here and understanding your accountability and your love makes a difference. Thank you. And this is Carrie. Black people, may you be blessed, may you be protected, may our ancestors watch over us, may our children grow up, may they grow up and thrive, may we have each other always, may the resilience that we have been practicing for hundreds of years lift us up, may our enemies, our oppressors, the police, be struck down, be ended. May they be transformed into something that protects us. May they lay down their weapons. May they quit their jobs. And may the ancestors, our recent ancestors, and our longer ancestors always be with us. Please take a moment as you feel comfortable to either hold their hand or hug or look into the eyes of somebody next to you as you feel comfortable and as you consented to. And now, as a group, I think we all know this one, but repeat after me. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and protect one another. We have nothing to lose but our chains. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and protect one another. We have nothing to lose but our chains. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and protect one another. We have nothing to lose but our chains.
I'm just now hitting the record, so if you just repeat.